Welcome to Gardens for Everybody. Today, we have the great pleasure of interviewing Mike Ritchie from a really old, what is it this place called?
Garden Center.
But you used to be a farm feed center.
And we still do sell feed as well. But yes, we have garden and feed.
Awesome. So we're interviewing Mike Ritchie. And we're starting by telling him how much we appreciate the fact that last year we received a $1,000 gift certificate from Ritchie's through
Live 85.
They had a contest and they gave us the money. We're very, very appreciative. And we've already spent $700 worth of that gift. So, welcome, Mike. And can you tell me some of the history of Ritchie Feed and Seed?
Thank you for having me. So we're almost 100 years old. We started in the late 1920s down on the market when it was still a market. We have five locations now. We have our Ottawa East location. We have one in Stittsville, in Richmond, in Brockville, and in Petawawa. We've been around for a while. I'm the fourth generation. It's still stayed in the Ritchie family. And we started in Canada and stayed proudly Canadian our whole time.
I love it. I love it. Actually, the store down here at Windmill Lane is full of lovely stuff.
Yes. Yeah, we try to have a good selection.
Yeah, I'm worried that we're going to spend more money than just the gift certificate. So it's going to be a little personal money spent here today as well, I think. So that goes on to what we bought from your store with using the gift cards. Thank you very much. So far, we've got more to buy. But we bought ProMix for starting our seeds and getting plants ready to plant out. We bought chicken manure, or pelletized chicken manure, I should say, the alfalfa, and then seaweed fertilizer and some seeds from Ritchie's as well. We're just wondering if you have any comments on the things that we bought.
Yeah. So we bought the ProMix, which is a peat moss-based potting media. A lot of people like using it for seed starting, as you did, because it's light, it holds moisture pretty well. It's easy to transplant into a garden after, so has a lot of benefits in that. I believe the ones you got had some mycorrhizin as well, which we can talk about the benefits of that a little bit later. Pelletized chicken manure is a great product that a lot of people have been turning to. It's a great organic fertilizer, as well as they have the straight chicken manure, as well as ones with bone meal added and other organic material to make it more suitable for different plants.
I have to interrupt. I used to use it to make the small animals not eat my plants. So it kept the chipmunks and the squirrels and the groundhogs away from my veggies.
Yes. And a lot of people do use those. We sell a lot of it in the fall to keep squirrels and chipmunks away from tulip bulbs when people plant them to stop them from digging them up again.
Brilliant.
That has a multitude of different...
Question, do they put the pelletized chicken manure on top?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's the smell, so trying to keep them from going to it in the first place.
Awesome.
I love it when things have more than one useful purpose. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the other nice thing about the chicken manure is compared to some other organic fertilizers, which can get quite pricey, it is very reasonably priced and very effective.
Yeah, which is probably why we're buying it too.
We also buy it because we don't want to harm the environment further, and people are eating chickens anyway.
Yeah.
So we're not harvesting from the sea or other places.
Yeah, you're using the stuff that's being made anyways in the manure. It's there. So good to use it for good and to help us with growing plants as well.
So the Barrhaven Food Covered Garden has been a permaculture garden for more than 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we use as few products as possible. They do have to be like more organically oriented. And we try very, very hard not to touch the soil. Having said that, we did apply the Mike, M-Y-K-E,
yeah.
4 years ago and 3 years ago into the soil when we were planting. And then 2 years ago, we brought in spent blocks from a mushroom producer that sold to grocery stores and broke them up and put them also into the soil. What's your advice moving forward, increasing the biodiversity of our soil?
Yeah, adding things like the mite, which is kind of a play on mycorrhiza, which is a beneficial fungus, helps with the root growth, biodiversity in the soil. Adding that on a regular basis, like once a year or so, just helps because some of it does get used up by the plants. I usually use it most when planting new plants because you can put it down. Like you make your hole, you put a line of that down, and when it's in touch with the root system, it helps make those small fibrous roots. So you won't necessarily need to spread it like everywhere on the garden every year, but where it's being used up, where those individual plants are, that's where I would use it on a regular basis.
Well, that's good to know. Even though we're doing permaculture, you're thinking it will still benefit the soil by increasing the biodiversity?
It will help. It's a beneficial fungus, maybe not the ones that are naturally there. So you still want to try to encourage the natural biodiversity as much as possible, but it will help the plants and it's not adding anything that's harmful to the ground.
That's very good to know. And our soil type, by the way, in the garden is sandy loam.
Okay. Yeah. That's usually pretty good. Just sometimes, depending on how sandy, it can drain a little bit quicker than when hot spells, it can get a little difficult sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So we were wondering if you had any other tips for us for the garden. Can you tell us a bit more about the alfalfa? What does that do to the soil? What benefits?
Yeah, so alfalfa is mostly nitrogen. So what that helps is mostly the green parts of the plants. So the leaves, if you're doing veggies like any brassicas or kales, lettuce, spinach, anything like that, it promotes the growth of the leaves the most. And that's mostly what it does. It's an organic fertilizer, but it doesn't have much else other than nitrogen in it. And that's why some people also will plant an empty field. They'll plant alfalfa, let it grow, and then till it in. And it's a nitrogen fixating, so it helps enrich the soil that's there as well. A plot that you're not using that year regains some of its nutrients back.
Right. Okay. So letting it go sort of cover crop so that you're increasing the benefits to the soil.
Yeah, a lot of people use alfalfa as a cover crop to enhance the nitrogen.
Yeah, and we've also bought seaweed fertilizer, which we use a lot on our peppers and eggplant, actually. What do you think, see, is the benefits of the seaweed fertilizer?
A couple different benefits. One, it is mostly potassium or potash, which is, if you're looking at the three fertilizer numbers, the last one, which helps with the production of fruit a bit with along with phosphorus, but just kind of helping that plant intake a lot of the nutrients that it needs from the soil as well. And seaweed, it's usually harvested from natural sources or in farms where they're using it as well. So it is nice that way. And a lot of it's water soluble as well. I'm not sure if the ones you got was water soluble or not. And the nice thing about water soluble fertilizer, it gets brought in by the plants a lot quicker. So that's the advantage of it. It'll give a quicker boost than a granular fertilizer, which is still good, but it takes a little bit longer to break down, which is its purpose. So it slowly fertilizes over time, where a water soil will be intaked by the plant quicker because it's more readily available in that water state.
How far does phosphorus move in the soil?
Depends on how much you put down. I'm not sure of the specifics. I know it'll stay in there if you put way too much down and plant isn't able to intake it a whole lot. But phosphorus is usually the second number, the middle number. It's usually for roots and flowers and fruit production.
And that one doesn't move much in soil.
Not as much, no.
How many seaweed products do you have available? Both granular, because that sounds like a great idea, and liquid.
At the moment, we call it Acathy. It's a Quebec company actually owned by the same people as the Actisol chicken manure. They have the liquid versions. They have a granular version as well. Usually when it's in a granular or powder form, it's called kelp rather than seaweed. Usually when you're mixing with water, it's called seaweed concentrate, or you can get a powdered concentrate where it's called seaweed extract concentrate, which you mix with water. That's one of the main distinctions. Usually if it's in a granular form meant to be used granularly, they call it kelp or kelp meal. And if it's meant to be mixed with water or in a liquid state, they call it seaweed.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So my last question to you would be, you know, obviously we've chosen certain products, but do you have other products that would fit in with an organic permaculture food producing garden that might also be useful to us?
Yeah, like a lot of people use, like the chicken manure is the main one. And as I said, they have a huge amount of lines where they have other additives to make it more higher in potassium or higher in phosphorus or stuff like that. A lot of the the ones that have been used for ages and still work well is bone meal. Has some nitrogen and phosphorus, and it's really good as a transplanting one, and it has added calcium from the bones, which helps tomatoes and peppers that can get a calcium deficiency. So that one's really good. Blood meal is used a decent amount still, mostly for, it's basically just nitrogen.
Yeah.
So for nitrogen loving plants, kind of the same way the alfalfa would be used. And some people do use it to keep squirrels and chipmunks away as well.
Yeah.
Because of the scent of blood, they think a predator might be around, might not be safe for them.
Like the chicken manure.
Yeah, exactly.
Is corn gluten meal used anymore much now?
Not for anything other than grass. So it's used as a weed preventative. So if you put enough corn gluten down, it stops seeds from germinating. So for dandelions and crabgrass and other weeds that are annual, where they drop their seeds in the fall to come up in the spring, it helps stop them from coming up. But in an actual fertilizer sense for the garden, it's not used all that much. It's nitrogen. A lot of people use the blood meal or the alfalfa or chicken manure instead of corn gluten in a garden sense. But since it does have nitrogen, which is what grass uses the most, and it does have that benefit of stopping weeds from germinating, it's used in the lawn a lot.
So. Actually, I think it stops grass seed from germinating too.
It'll stop any seed from germinating. We tell people, if you're planning to put grass seed down, do not put corn gluten down.
I've seen that.
Last question was just on insects that are coming in right now. So right now, and also there's a lot of Japanese beetles around.
Yes.
Do you have any good tips on how to manage the Japanese beetle?
They're everywhere. Sometimes we have a little bit here, and you can sometimes get it other places too. There is like a fine insect mesh that you can put over some plants that does stop them. There's the Japanese beetle traps. And the main thing with those is you got to put them away from your plants. A lot of people make the mistake of either putting them up too soon, where they only see a couple Japanese beetles and they put it up and then more come to the area, or they put it right beside their plants. It does have an attractant on it.
Yes,
so
it's such a pheromone.
It has a pheromone. So we only really recommend, if you have an infestation, then put it away from your plants and use it, because you're not really worried about more coming to your area. You just want to make sure the ones coming to your area go to the trap instead of your plants. If you only have a couple, you're seeing like 5 or 10 or something around, just go out with a bucket of soapy water and just knock them in. You don't want to accidentally bring more to your air from the pheromone when you don't have that big of an issue. As I said, covering the plants helps. There's not really much in the way of sprays or anything. They're a hard-shelled beetle. There's not a whole lot. It's usually the traps or covering, or just go up with soapy water. Don't squish them, because they'll set off a pheromone when they get squished.
Right. So that's why we're putting them in the soapy water to kill them rather than squishing them.
Yes.
Elizabeth, didn't you tell me about the parasitoid?
Yes, there is a parasite that was released a while ago in Ottawa to try and control the Japanese beetle population. And you can see if it's got it, because while the Japanese beetle has little white spots all around the circumference of its back, the ones with parasites tend to have a little white spot around the head or other places on it. And so I've heard you should check and not kill the beetles that have the parasite, so that they're going to spread that parasite and control the population in the long run. Difficult to do, because not everyone is about to see those spots.
Yeah. I haven't heard about that as much. I know they were working on different things, but we'll see. It is a very large population.
Yes.
And their larval forms the white grubs, which is also quite a large population. So it just kind of goes back and forth quite a bit.
Can you use nematodes?
Nematodes will help while they're in the ground as the grub form to limit how many come out.
Would you apply the nematodes in August on turf or in your beds?
You do it in the turf, because they feed on roots, grass roots more specifically. So you might see some grubs in the garden bed, but more likely they're in the grass. So even though you see the beetles in the garden bed most, the actual grubs are going to be in the grass.
And does Richie sell the nematodes?
We do, yes.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah. So people can access that from here and get some advice on how to apply it, because I guess it's a bit of a...
And so there's a little bit to it. Yes, we have that. And then the other one is Scott has a product called Grubbigon, which is a bacteria. It's also natural, which is a little bit easier to spread because it's in a granular form, but a little bit more expensive. So it's a little which way you want to go.
Are you seeing any other insects come in at the moment that are causing people problems?
The main ones at the moment, with Japanese Beetles is the main one. We have seen a couple other things, Boxwood Moth, that's caterpillar causing some havoc recently at this time of the year, and the lawn chinch bugs are coming into their time. Those would be the main ones for right now, though there's lots of different ones around. In this area, a lot of people have magnolia scale, which is a big one that we've seen more prevalent in the last couple of years. But yeah, I get to see people bring me all sorts of bugs.
And you could help them with the management of those?
For the most part, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate you taking time. I know you're really, really busy. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And thank you. That's been Gardens for Everybody. Thank you for listening. And please follow.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure.